This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
We're wrapping up the final message on 4 weeks, four dates, and the whole challenge. And it seems kind of oxymoronic to give a singles talk on Valentine's Day, right? Oxymorons, if you don't know, those are like pretty ugly, icy hot, fun run, Branson Entertainment, right? ACC football, driving tourists, words that don't go very well together, right? And so we are going to sum it up, but we're going to, and if you're not a single and you're here like, man, I shouldn't even have come to church, you're wrong. Because you have an opportunity to be a backup singer. And some of the things we're going to share today, I think you can transfer onto some singles that may not be here today. And then you can give the same courage, the same love, the same emboldened knowledge to part. So we're talking about part five, sliding into DMs. And some of you are like, wait, what is sliding into DMs? Well, for those of you that don't know, because 40 years ago, you actually went to the door, knocked on the door, and asked the father if you may take his daughter out on a date. And then it transferred to that where you actually called and the house only had one phone, five, three. And you had the rotary dial and you had a call and dad answered the phone. So dad answered the phone and said, who is this? You want to speak to who? Yeah, right? And then you got to speak to the daughter. Nowadays, they do what's just called sliding into DMs. Where they don't have to call anybody. They just get to get on Snapchat or Insta and they just slide right in the DMs like, what's up, girl? Right? And that's it. Stop that. Young men, stop sliding into DMs, right? The other lingo is catching feelings, right? Where you ever have two people that are friends, someone's going to eventually catch feelings and want to be with that person when we talk about singleness. So there's one passage of scripture that Scott and I really want to anchor on today for singles. And it's the same one I'd encourage you to encourage singles with. And it's in Song of Solomon 2:7, 3:5, 8:4. So three times, like this is important, so important that Solomon says it three different times throughout this poetical letter. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, or I adjure you, or I strongly implore, or I encourage you. He's very adamant about this. You by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not, once again, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Scott, what does it mean to awaken love before it desires?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And I don't know about you, but for me, anytime I've come across this passage, I have this faint understanding of what that means. I agree with it, but I don't really know what all that entails. And so to begin here, I want to lay out a little definition that I think is encapsulating what the Shulamite woman is trying to convey here. And that is, to awaken or arouse those desires is to act on the desires of sexual and emotional intimacy prior to the covenant relationship of marriage that begins at the wedding. To act on those desires. And I think that's pertinent for us because I want to acknowledge that God does give us those good desires for companionship, for intimacy, both emotionally and sexually. Those are good desires, and what is being conveyed here is that those desires are to be acted upon at the right time. In full transparency, I knew my wife 4 years in friendship before we started dating. And the moment that we started dating, I had all those desires present. They were absolutely present. And I believe that there are three ways that we navigate or act on those desires. The first one is absolute freedom. The freedom to go and be with each other intimately, to hook up, to slide into the DMs for a hookup, not worrying about consequences, but seeking pleasure. The second and third ones I would phrase as repression versus suppression. Repression would say that this is the rejection or denial of these feelings, these desires, this desire for companionship. And I think the third way we might go about that is suppression. As we understand these desires to be, but there is a conscious restraint. They are good, not at this time. And so what I believe the Shulamite woman is conveying in this passage is there is a right time, a right place, and a right person for the awakening and rousing of love. because I think she understands something that you and I also understand, and that is the power of love. The power of love. She even mentions this power in verse 5 here, just a couple of verses before. Song of Solomon says this, 2:5. Sustain me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. She is describing the physical ailment of her desire for Solomon in this passage. Her desire all but consumes her, exposing her to her husband just how vulnerable she is. Because she has given herself fully to him, he holds incredible power to build her up or to destroy her. The power of love. When these things are awakened or aroused prior to marriage, devastating things happen. I love how this commentary put it when it says, both men and women must let their love arise on its own and not rush into it or force it to happen. When it is time, self-sacrificial love will rise naturally. It is not forcible. I don't know about you, but when I think of this concept of forcing or rushing love, there is a TV show that comes to my mind. And I believe many of you secretly watch this show. And if, man, you were also being honest, you might just happen to be on the couch while this show's on as well. And that is The Bachelor. Okay? I have to admit that sometimes I watch this and I just think, do everything opposite of what they're doing. Watch that and do the opposite. It's train wreck on train wreck with another train wreck. And I say this because in a public way, you see the consequences of what rushing and forcing love before it is time happen right before your eyes.
So good.
Contestants show up and are all vying for one person's affirmation and love. And there is some magical clock exists out there in which these women are pushing and forcing to convey their deep love emotionally for a guy they've been on two dates with. Not to mention the sexual pressure that is put on these contestants to advance as far and as fast as they can to solidify that they would receive a rose. The exit interview when they do not receive a rose is all you need to see for the effects of what arousing and awakening love looks like before its time. For there is some kind of script that they all almost read off. What is wrong with me? I gave all my love and I didn't get it back. There's something, there must be something wrong with me. I'm unlovable. And you just see the implosion of their awakening and arousing love prior to that time on full display. On full display. And so, as we move to the next section here, Adam's going to talk about what do we do if we have already aroused or awoken that in the relationships right now or previously.
So, or follow the cues of The Bachelor, right? My wife and I do a lot of premarital and postmarital counseling, and it's crazy how some of them will watch this together, and I'll look at the wife and I'll say, you don't expect to go stay in lodge cabins in the Alps and him to take helicopter rides with you and drop you off on deserted islands. Like, you know that's not normal, right? And she'll kind of look at me like, no, it's not normal. Like, don't follow the cues of The Bachelor. So, but what happens if you're a single in here and you've already awakened love or you've already pushed that too far? My friend Eric Metaxas says it really well. He says this: having sex with the person you expect to marry is acclimatizing them to the idea of sex with someone they aren't married to. Wow, what a powerful quote. You're getting them ready to do something you don't want them to do outside of marriage. And remember this, sex isn't man's idea. It wasn't woman's idea, right? Women might think it's man's idea. No, it wasn't man or woman's idea. It was God's idea. God designed and God created sex. Marriage wasn't man's idea. Marriage was God's idea. So when God designs things, he designs them within the context in which they belong. And it's the same with this. And so when you do something outside of a design, it can have catastrophic effects. It can have an impact. Let's look at this biblically. Scripture has something to say this. It is God's will for you that you should be sanctified. That word sanctified literally means to be set apart, which means we should be taking our dating, our marital, and our sexual cues from the Bible and not the Bachelor or Tinder, swipe left, swipe right. We shouldn't be taking our cues from culture. We should be taking our cues from Scripture. And so that you should avoid sexual immorality. Pretty clear. You're not married, you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. You know, it's crazy to think about how prolonged adolescent singles are getting married later and later. One of the elders just asked me why in between services. And I said, because men are more able to get on pornography where they don't control their own bodies and they're satisfied without needing a spouse. Which is catastrophic what we're seeing in this trend of generation, all right? That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in a passionate lust like the pagans that do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage. When I think of singles dating, I see oftentimes people who take advantage of guys or girls by emotional manipulation, by wordsmithing things, by making a girl feel bad if she doesn't give a part of her physical purity or whatever the case may be, and the relationships become real unhealthy and manipulative. It says, do not take advantage. Gentlemen, no means no. That word's the same, okay? Don't take advantage of a brother or sister, girls too. Don't emotionally manipulate guys. Don't play games. If you're in your 20s, stop playing games. Grow up, be an adult. Don't play games. Don't. You know what I'm talking about. If you're ready to get married and you want to be a mature adult, there's no more time for games. Married people, stop playing games, okay? The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. So if you're a single and you're dating someone, they need to be a believer, period. A non-believer shouldn't date, or a believer should not date a non-believer, because that non-believer is not going to have the Holy Spirit in it, and they're going to act like a non-believer, period. And Scripture is crystal clear with this. There's no relation with a non-believer and a believer. And I get this all the time from young people. You guys know that. I mentor young people all the time. And girls will tell me this when a guy's awesome. Man, he has so much potential to be an amazing Christian. I'm like, yeah, he's also got potential to be a deadbeat dad. I don't care. And then guys will say this. Oh my gosh, but she's so hot. I'm like, bro, so is hell. I don't care. I don't care. Does she know Jesus? Does he know Jesus? Is he walking with the Holy Spirit inside him that's going to help him navigate the single waters? Which is really important. Because here's the reality. In dating, we put on these rose-colored glasses. And it is difficult to see red flags in dating with rose-colored glasses. What are those red flags? Codependency. Like sabotaging dates because you make it so self-centered and about you. Wanting to cross physical boundaries. Having a lot of emotional baggage. Those are red flags in dating. And trust me, dating or marriage just becomes dating multiplied, right? Marriage is just dating squared. And so when you're dating someone, Gary Thomas says this in his book, The Sacred Search, is that we become so infatuated where the epinephrine and the endorphins in our brains literally make it impossible to see red flags because we have rose-colored glasses on. And so it's important that there's backup singers in these singles dating's life that they help identify those red flags in people. And I've learned this from singles. Usually singles don't want to ask godly couples if they should be dating someone if they know they shouldn't be dating that person. So they'll go to their secular friends who would give them the advice that they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And so as you go through dating, you got to understand that infatuation period only lasts for 9 to 12 months. And then that Bambi, Twitter-pated, really infatuated period goes, and then it's like Scott said, it's a train wreck on train wreck on train wreck. It explodes because once that infatuation goes, what have you built on? And you've chosen to ignore all the red flags, right? And so here's a fireplace. We would all love to sit next to one of those today, amen? What is a fireplace for? A fireplace was built to have warmth in a house, being able to confine a fire. And it works great. But if you remove that fire from outside of the fireplace where it belongs, it is going to cause a lot of damage. Matter of fact, it will burn the entire house down. This is how God designed sex. Singles, The fire is meant to be inside of marriage. When you take it outside of that, you're playing with fire, literally. And now, let me encourage you with this, singles. If, like me, you have made mistakes in your physical purity. I didn't start walking with Jesus until halfway through college. And I made some mistakes in my physical purity. My wife was amazing. She didn't. She walked with Jesus her whole life, and she'd been amazing. So we started dating, and I wanted to do it the right way. I wanted to date her how Scripture says you should pursue and date a woman, not how culture had taught me my entire life. And so knowing I had made some mistakes, I approached her and just said, hey, and I knew this was going to get serious. I needed to let her know I had a past. I wanted to be honest, transparent, and didn't want any of our relationship built on lies. And I'll never forget, I went, approached her, and just said, hey, I want you to know I have a past. I'll never forget what she said. She says, that's not who you are today, and that's not who you are becoming. I don't want to dwell on it. 13 years into marriage, she hasn't brought it up or thrown it back in my face yet. And she's living out the gospel. That's the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. So if you are a single in an impure relationship, I'm telling you, your response today is to start walking in the newness of Christ. Is to start walking in purity. If you're a parent and you know your young person is in an impure relationship, it is your responsibility as a backup singer to tell them to get out of that relationship. God is not going to bless a sexually impure relationship. If you are single and you are shacking up with somebody, you either break up, separate, and start pursuing the right way, then lead it towards marriage. But you can't continually have sex with somebody and say, God's in this relationship. It doesn't work. That's not how he designed it. And so just like my wife says, that's not who you're becoming, you have a chance to become somebody too. That's what I love about the story of David. The dude blew it with sexual purity, but God still redeemed him, and we call him a man after God's own heart. And so, Scott, the next part of this is, what about the singles that have never even had the opportunity or chance to awaken love?
Yeah. Well, I want to acknowledge something, and that is that I know that many of you who are single have a deep desire to be married and just haven't had that happen yet or haven't found that person yet. And as I made a phone call to a friend, Angie Woods, who is a life coach for young single Christian women, she said a phrase in there that I thought was too good not to share. And that is that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so if you are single and your heart is sick, as you are losing hope that that may be something that the Lord has in store for you, do not lose hope. I want to encourage you here today because I feel as though I understand a little bit of where you're at, because we live in a culture today that is so sex saturated. It's insane. The way in which we as a culture, or the culture looks at singles, that there's something wrong with you, or why are you not with somebody? You're getting a little bit older. What's going on? Look, me and my wife are in the process of house hunting, and we have about 10 days to put a contract on a house before we're out of our next spot. Because of this, I am looking at houses I never, ever, ever would have considered prior to this timeline that I now have on me. Square footage, where we're living at, what it looks like. I am knocking things off my list. To put it another way, I am beginning to settle for things. And if I may encourage young single men and women, do not settle. Do not cave into the pressure. Stay strong. I offer to you another thing as you look for love, as you look for marriage, is that JP, a pastor down in Texas, talks about this, that when he counsels young men and women, he asks them, what are you looking for? And the number one answer he gets is, I'm looking for that feeling. I'm looking for that feeling. I can't put my words on it, but when I meet them, I'm just going to know. That's bad. That's bad. JP describes that dating should be more like a job interview than we want to admit. Is this person going to be a loving husband? Is this person going to be a good father, a good mother? So here is something I challenge you with. If you are young and single, or even if you're in a dating relationship, maybe consider this, that you actually write out a list of what you're looking for. Now, I have two caveats to that. And that caveat would be, is after you create this list of this goddess woman or this he-man, that you do two things. First of all, you write this. Pastor Douglas Wilson says this. Be the kind of person that the kind of person you want to marry would want to marry. For everything you write on that list, you have to begin thinking, would that person want to have anything to do with me? That you may begin thinking about some areas that you need to be working on as you are pursuing marriage and in a relationship. My second caveat to you writing that list would be this. Does your list match what God says is beautiful of a young man or woman of God? There could be random things on there, preferences, whatever. But as you begin to take that list to the Lord, does that match what God says is beautiful? And if it doesn't, that you would humble yourself enough in conviction to confess that before the Lord and begin to pray that He changes your heart to better seek and love the things at which the Lord loves and seeks. Now, there are some things in there that there are automatic deal breakers, right? Like being a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, right? Right now, like, let's just let out a collective sigh for all my Chiefs fans right now, okay? 3, 2, 1. Ah! Okay, but we would begin truly to think, what is it that God wants in a young man or woman that we pursue? I also want to ask a question that I think is a pertinent question for any stage of life you're in, whether you're single, in a relationship, or married. For the singles that are sick of heart, that we begin to maybe change our perspective by asking questions like this. How can I leverage this season of life for the advancement of the gospel? How can I leverage where God has me with what I'm doing for the advancement of the gospel? There is a season, there is the gift of singleness that allows you to do stuff that in marriage and raising kids doesn't allow. That you may begin to capitalize, maximize, and pursue that season for the advancement of the gospel. Because the Great Commission didn't say it begins when you're married. The Great Commission is for all in all seasons of life. And so hopefully that challenge and different perspective may aid young singles. Adam's going to finish us off in describing what do we or how do we know when we're ready to awaken love.
Yeah, and so I would say if you're single, there's nothing wrong with you. Maybe, right? No. So like maybe you're too clingy, or maybe you're too apathetic, or maybe singleness is because you're not taking initiative, or because every first date you go on, you sabotage it by becoming super clingy and already talking about marriage on the very first date, right? But maybe you are single because you have some maturing to do, and you have some awareness to develop, which is understanding too, right? But I love, if you are single and you're a girl, I love the way that Maya Angelou puts this. She says that a woman's heart should be so hidden in God that a man has to seek him just to find her. So if you're single and you're looking for a significant other to fulfill you or satisfy the deepest longings of your heart, that person will react as a dysfunctional savior. They're not supposed to complete you or satisfy you, regardless of what Hollywood movies. No one completes you outside of Jesus. And so when you look for that, that becomes dysfunctional codependency, and it becomes really unhealthy. And so the idea that getting a significant other is going to make you happy is a lie. Straight from the pit, because the enemy wants you to think that somebody else will complete you when Jesus alone is the one that completes you. It's the same way I've told people, often we carry father wounds because we look for our earthly fathers to play a role that only our heavenly father can. And the same way, when we look for a significant other to complete us in a way that only Jesus can, we project unfairly onto somebody else a role they can't carry. They can't carry that burden. They can't carry your sin. They can't carry your junk. Jesus can. And Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But that person you're dating, that person you're married to, they'll disappoint you. They'll let you down. It's called sin. When you take one sinner plus one sinner, you get more sin, not less sin. Right? It doesn't get less when you take two sinners into this equation. And so Ted showed this triangle a couple weeks ago, and I love it. And I've always used it for young people. So this is even for married couples. This isn't just for single people. This is for everybody. So you have you and others. So whether, think about your name, the girl's name, your spouse, you. And then you have God. Every relationship that pursues God first and foremost is going to have more intimacy. They're going to close the distance between each other, getting closer to God and helping that intimacy. It's inevitable. But the problem so many times I see with young single people is they do the opposite. And so here's the full part of the triangle is they pursue each other first. So rather than keeping God the center of the relationship and pursuing him first and foremost, they pursue each other first, and you see what happens to the distance between God. They actually increase their distance between God, creating an unhealthy relationship. Gary Thomas says it this way. Marriage doesn't solve emptiness. It exposes it. So marry someone who has a solid core. If someone can't live without you, he or she will never be happy living with you either. He's speaking into dysfunctional codependency. Okay? So I think a lot of the reasons why there's so many singles, especially in this prolonged adolescent era, is one, guys are apathetic. I promise you, fellas, girls are better than Fortnite. I promise you that, right? A good, solid Christian girl is way better. And fellas, there's a mature girl out there, and you guys have the pick of the litter if you'll just step up. So if you are a single guy in here today, or online or on chapel, and you have never been on a date with a girl, but there's this girl you really want to take out, I will Cash App you your first date. If you will step up and be a man, and she has to be a believer, and you need to be a believer. And I will, my wife and I will sponsor your first date to get off your duff, ask her on a date. And today's a great day to do it. I heard there's a day called Valentine's Day. Today would be a great day to take that girl out. So hit me up after this service, and I will Cash App you to take that girl on a date for your first date, okay? Scott's going to wrap this up for us.
Yeah, and as we wrap up, and Adam mentioned, how do we take what we've heard today as a married couple? What how do we use this? Is this a sermon for singles? And I would ask this question, how do we as a church need to continue growing and loving on our singles? That season of life. And I would first begin with just the idea that we've consistently used of backup singers. You know, backup singers for our marriages. Well, I think we need to continue that to be backup singers for those that are single and those that are in dating relationships. For I can tell you that when I look back on my life, Pete and Becca Majors, Mike and Tammy Higgins allowed me the opportunity as a young, goofy single guy to come in and be a part of their family on Sunday night dinners, or to go trick-or-treating with them, or sit by them at church, and to see great pictures of godly marriages that I was taking mental notes of to one day desire to be a part of what now Nicole and I have. And so, church family, Woodland Hills, I ask that you become the Shulamite woman, that we as a church body are speaking truth to singles and those in dating, letting them know God's design for these desires is in the marriage covenant. That we would be a community that loves all seasons of life, pouring into the season of life we've just come out of. So maybe we begin to seek out, and I also offer this too, singles and young couples. You should be seeking those married couples out too. You should be pursuing, hey, can you speak truth into our lives? That we would be the body of Christ. Corinthians 12:12 talks about it. Right? Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We are the body of Christ. The hand needs the foot. Singles need dating couples. Dating couples need married couples. We are to love on each other. So I think that's, when I think about this message, it's helpful for all of us and should be a challenge and an encouragement in multiple ways. I'm going to pray for us as we conclude, and then Katie is going to come up and describe the giveaway of our 4 dates, 4 weeks competition that's been going on and the winner of that. So would you please join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for today. You are the creator of all things, and in that creation, you saw fit to give man and woman this great gift of marriage. Lord, may we heed your words as we hear the calling, the charge to do not awaken or arouse love before its time. May we understand your design for sex and emotional intimacy is in marriage. And so, Lord, let us continue to be the church body that loves on different seasons of life, speaking truth with love, and may we honor you in the way that we go about our relationships. Lord, we love you and thank you. It's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, guys.
Church, help me thank Adam and Scott for bringing the message today. So grateful for these two. Excellent message this morning. Well, church, we, like they said, are wrapping up our 4 dates, 4 week series today by announcing our grand prize winners, which I am so excited about. And so we have heard a lot of excellent teaching on marriage over the last few weeks, and we've heard from one expert in particular, Dr. Kurt, from our video series, our bumper video series, marriage expert extraordinaire. And so we're very lucky to have him actually here this morning helping me make this announcement. So if you will help me welcome Dr. Kurt, here he comes.
Good morning, church.
Yeah.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me. And I am honored to be announcing the grand prize winners of the 4 dates, 4 weeks challenge.
Yes, we are so excited. And just as a quick reminder for some of you maybe that aren't familiar with the challenge or don't know what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, we challenged you to do 4 dates in 4 weeks. So 1 date per week for a 4 week time frame. And we invited you to do creative dates, adventurous dates, romantic dates, and just to really have a lot of fun with this. And church, you have knocked it out of the park. You guys have done a great job. It's been so much fun watching you date, and I, for one, am just super excited to hear who the winners are.
Me too. Today, we will be awarding one married couple and one dating couple with an incredible prize. The married couple will select from 2 options, a trip to Blackberry Farm in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, or a trip to the Watercolor Inn nestled in Santa Rosa, Florida. Huh? And the winning dating couple will be gifted a $1,000 day date, day only,
date.
To Big Cedar and Dogwood Canyon.
That's right. So I have in my hands right now, in these envelopes, the names of our winners. And so I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Kurt. And Dr. Kurt, will you do the honors?
I shall. Are you guys ready?
Yeah. Are you ready?
I said, are you ready to hear the winners? All right. Here we go.
And drum roll. Drum roll on your legs.
The married couple grand prize winners are Kyle and Bailey Hoik.
Are you in this service?
If you are here, please stand. Oh, there they are.
Congratulations,
guys.
They're back there.
Hey, I'll meet you at the airport. They told you I'm coming with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to make sure everything goes smoothly, you know, all expenses paid, right, Ted?
Yes.
Are you guys allergic to Great Danes? I never go anywhere without him. You know, we'll talk later. It's fine.
Yeah, it's going to be very romantic. You're going to enjoy that. Congratulations. So excited for you guys. Congratulations.
All right. Now the dating couple. Let's switch the envelope, please.
Yep. Dating couple. Drum roll, please.
All right. And the dating couple grand prize winners are Savannah Sinclair and Caleb Fangstein. Are you here?
I think they might be watching online this morning.
Yeah, I've just gotten word they're watching online. Hey, congratulations, guys.
Congratulations.
Yes. So you know, I am legally required to chaperone the two of you on this day date, just to make sure, you know, there's no funny business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. But don't worry. I'm delightful.
Yeah. You're going to enjoy Dr. Kurt. There is no doubt about it. But again, help me thank Dr. Kurt. We have had a lot of fun with you guys over the last 4 weeks of dating. And any last words of wisdom, Dr. Kurt, for all these couples before we let them go?
Yes. Don't make fun of your wife's choices because you were one of them. Good night, folks.
Yeah! Church, we love you. You are dismissed. Stay safe and warm.